Hello and good morning. You're listening to The Morning After with Ben and Josh, and it is Thursday, and every Thursday we get to talk to a wonderful Member of Parliament, and this Thursday it is...
James McDowell, good morning.
Good morning. Isn't it Wednesday?
Oh, it is Wednesday.
It is Wednesday.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm glad you picked up on that.
Oh, wow. You know what? I'm just going to embrace that. I'm just going to take that on board. And
marinate
you know,
with that.
It
Move
is
on.
What it is.
All right. So, first question. We'd love to discuss hate speech after the recent Karen moment that happened in the Beehive last week. So, how far should hate speech laws go? And is it hate speech to be called a Karen?
Yeah, well, I've got to say, I mean, it was pretty funny with the Prime Minister calling Judith Collins a Karen in the House, effectively. And I think our follow-up story from our own Karen was on the News Hub front page for something like over 6 hours, which is, like, extraordinary. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, all of that stuff about the Karen thing, it's a distraction about how serious these proposed laws actually are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I'd say, look, ACT believes in free speech fundamentally. Mm-hmm. We want people to be able to debate ideas freely and openly. And, you know, it's important that, look, we don't have to like everything people say. I certainly don't like what everybody says, and I don't have to like it. And people are entitled to their opinions so long as they don't incite violence, but that's already illegal.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you look at a few cases of universities, but not just universities, this cancel culture concept is getting out of control. Mm-hmm. And legislation like this has the potential to put that sort of thing on steroids. So, you know, these another thing with these proposed laws is they carry up to 3 years in prison.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's, you know, an issue with that.
Yeah.
Assault of a child is only 2 years.
Oh, wow.
And yet for saying things that, you know, people consider unpopular, and you get the Twitter mob on you, and, you know, people start a petition, and then the police feel like, you know, they have to act because there's so much public pressure.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to jail for longer than assaulting a child, which is extraordinary.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but this is all problematic from a, you know, if you sort of think from a legal perspective.
Mm.
In courts, judges, when they're struggling to interpret law, which they will in this case and guarantee it, they look to Parliament for guidance to how to interpret this.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, you know, questions we've put to Jacinda Ardern and Chris Farfoy, they just haven't been able to actually clearly define things. And I just think, look, this is so ambiguous, it's not funny.
Mm-hmm.
And it could just get watered down to the point where, you know, the laws are meaningless anyway, so why are they doing them?
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my 2 cents on that.
Fair enough. Well, I think that brings up the next question pretty well, which is that this Karen moment between Ardern and Collins, as funny as it was, and I think every political spectrum can agree that that was pretty funny. But it does highlight the sensational nature of the media. The moment was, you know, a quick, easily digestible soundbite. So how do you think that the continual acceleration of the media cycle, you know, impacts of 10 seconds or less attention span, social media things negatively affect us and kind of our ability to understand political issues?
Jeepers. look, I understand the sentiment. And, I mean, it's been going on for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's good, you know, now that I'm in Parliament, I know the press gallery, you know, reasonably well personally. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, look, the news cycle is quick. These guys are short-staffed.
Mm.
Obviously, it's all about, you know, grabbing attention, as you say.
Mm-hmm.
I think if we as MPs want better headlines, then we just have to do a better job, to be honest.
Yeah.
And in terms of the potential negative impacts of social media, I think you could probably write a thesis on that.
Trust.
And probably no time for that today. But what I would say is if people actually genuinely want to know more about a political party, whoever it is, or an MP, whoever it is, you know, there's plenty of resources out there. Parliament website, Parliament TV, go to their website, read through their policies.
Mm-hmm.
Go on their social media and actually go to events. You know, that's how you can really engage.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're right. Sometimes, you know, in the off chance I do a TV interview and you sort of speak for 3 or 4 minutes and, you know, if you're lucky, and then, you know, what appears on TV is about 5 seconds and you go, whoa, you know.
Yeah. It's like, that's what you took?
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, what about all that other stuff? But anyway, that's just the reality. You know.
Further discussion around the car ute tax, because there were announcements just in regarding the clean car discount, rather. It's a freebate scheme in which it sees charges on imported cars up to $5,175. And then this money is used to subsidise costs for people buying EVs, hybrids, other low-pollution cars. We talked about this recently. So, you want to flesh it out a little bit more because we've seen updates on it. Is this the first scheme like this? And why should those buying imported cars take the downfall?
Well, you know, the scheme as a whole, to me, doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And I think I mentioned last time, it's like market interventionism, where you basically try to manipulate purchasing behaviour. And I think it's well-intentioned, but it punishes tradies and farmers who need utes, and that is the reality of New Zealand society. You know, we have a large rural, many rural communities around the country, and you certainly can't move hay bales with a Nissan Leaf. And hey, you know, great cars. You know, if you want to go, if you live in the city and you want to buy a an EV, good on you. And you know, they're great fun in the right context. And but you know, when you're talking $60,000 and well above for your average EV, if you're lucky enough to actually find one in stock, then I'm not sure if such a rebate is actually going to change your purchasing behaviour. You know, meanwhile, people on the other side of the equation who need, you know, an ICE car, you know, an internal combustion engine car, you know, they're probably just going to look to the second-hand market and buy less clean vehicles because, you know, suddenly your importation has gone up thousands of dollars. And you might just go, you know what, I'll just go on the second-hand market and get something older. And, you know, in the end, we may not be really doing that much good. And then there's the other unintended consequences. We talk about, you know, retail price increases offshore that absorb the rebate. I mean, that could happen. So it's not great. But anyway.
No, that makes sense. And, you know, like you said, we have talked about this before. So we'd love to, I guess, you know, the whole idea of this scheme is to try and, you know, be more environmentally friendly as a country as a whole. But what are some other ways beyond this kind of roundabout scheme where, you know, there's so many numbers and, you know, taxes and everything that we can do as a country to promote clean, green living?
Well, that's a big, broad question, but I think, you know, as technology evolves and these things become easier to purchase and make more sense, you know, the market will talk. In terms of, you know, around about roading use, you know, look, ACT is all in favour of congestion charging and basically making a more user-pays model, especially in Auckland. Where, you know, you say, okay, you know, how do we get more people out of cars for these shorter trips and into other modes? Could be public transport or, you know, biking or walking or whatever. And, you know, congestion charging is a good way to do that and fund the infrastructure. You know, that's one approach that we're in favour of. I think, you know, in terms of people's personal personal carbon footprints and things, I mean, you know, as a politician, I'm not sure my plant-based diet makes up for the amount of flying I do. Probably not. But, you know, there's all sorts of things people can do to, you know, reduce their carbon footprint.
For sure. It's a mindfulness thing at the end of the day. Yes. And, of course, we're in the fringes. We talked to Tiana Tuiona last week, Green MP, and this is the question he had for you. Will you support the Green Party's call for a broader program of amnesty for overstayers?
Well, I'd like to see the call first. But I think, speaking generally, you know, I always say now is not the time to be deporting people. You know, during this global pandemic, it's just not cricket to be sending people offshore to, you know, countries that are ravaged. But at the end of the day, I guess there's two things. You know, one is focus on fixing the issues of people who have followed the law. But I think, you know, there are avenues. So I've said before, the, you know, getting a Section 61 to try and become lawful in this country, you know, that is an avenue that Immigration New Zealand could do a lot better in actually promoting and actually helping people who are overstaying to get visas. Because at the moment, they kind of just, you know, serve you with a liability notice and then they, you know, a little bit later, they deport you. I think, you know, they could be doing a much nicer thing instead of doing that.
No, yeah. Makes sense.
That's so, for sure.
Broadly, but, you know, yes. Broadly probably, but, you know, I'd need to really see what they're talking about.
Need to see the specifics. That's completely understandable.
Yeah. And, of course, we have to ask, what's your question for Tiana next week?
Let me think. I would say... Oh, I might let him off the hook this week.
Oh, right. Ooh, okay.
Very
well. Let him off. That's fine.
I'll let him off the hook, and I'll come back with a really good one. How's that?
Sure. That sounds wonderful. Yeah, that's great.
We'll hold you
I just think
that.
there's too many like little ideas that I want to unpack and get into, and I'm like, no, I need to actually spend some time really not giving him an easy one. I don't want to give him an easy one.
Yes, nah.
Makes sense. Cool. No, that's great. Well, we look forward to talking to you in 2 weeks' time, and we'll get that. We'll get that question. Thank you so much for coming onto our show this morning, ACT MP James McDowell.
See you later.
See ya.